everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Hope you're having a very happy 11th of December, 2012. And we're in that happy holiday season. It's Hanukkah, and I want to remind you to visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. We have a great food show up for Hanukkah right now. It's my baked potato pancakes, potato latkes. I am so in love with this recipe. And if you haven't had a chance to watch or try them, please do. I just made up a bunch on Sunday, and people were really surprised. They're not fried, and they are really good with that good traditional flavor. And like I like to say, save the oil for the lamp. Let's conserve energy. We don't need to be drowning our food in barrels of oil. And we really shouldn't be using as much oil and energy as we are doing today. So that's just a little food for thought. And everything can be just as delicious without frying. And it is holiday time, and that means stress. It's supposed to be this happy, good to all human season where we're kind and loving and giving and generous. And is anybody feeling that? All I feel right now is all this stress going around, people running around to stores and concerned about what they're going to be making for all their big holiday parties and what they're going to be eating and all the weight they're going to be gaining. Anyway, I just want to wish you a great holiday season. Keep breathing. And if you're eating this healthy plant-based diet that we're always talking about here every week, then I think you've got a good free pass because you're eating all the right foods. And when holidays come around, you don't really have anything to worry about. All our treats are really, they're treats. And you can indulge from time to time. Okay, now we're going to get sexy, all right? My guest is Chad Sarno. He's a chef, consultant, speaker, and committed plant activist. He has brought his unique culinary style to projects spanning public education at some of the world's premier wellness retreats and culinary expos to the launch of an international boutique restaurant chain from Istanbul to London. He's been a contributing chef to numerous recipe books as well as featured in many national publications. He's been a guest on dozens of morning shows and food-focused programs on television and radio internationally over the years. Through the intersection of clean food and culinary education, Chad continues to share his passion for helping others achieve their health goals, starting in the kitchen. In his most recent project, Chad has teamed up with New York Times best-selling author Chris Carr of Crazy Sexy Diet to write Crazy Sexy Kitchen, 150 plant-empowered recipes to ignite a mouth-watering revolution. And he is currently the senior culinary educator for Whole Foods Market's Healthy Eating Program and resides with his beautiful daughter in Austin, Texas. I am really excited to welcome Chad Sarno to It's All About Food. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Karen. How are you? Hi.
Yes, I can, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for that warm introduction. I would go a little bit more crazy than sexy. How about that? Let's get crazy on the holidays.
Okay, but both is good for me, and it's a good mix in the kitchen, crazy and sexy. You know, we really should let it all hang out and get loose and crazy, and we can do that with plant foods.
I completely agree. You know, with our new book and, you know, Crazy Sexy Kitchen, it actually made the New York Times bestseller list first couple weeks it was on the market, which we're really excited for. So having a plant-based, you know, vegan book up there on the list is pretty amazing, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, we've had some good presence there as vegans on the New York Times bestseller list, I'm happy to say. There always seems to be one there the last year or so, and yeah, let's get a few more up there.
I love it. So exciting. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this book, and then we'll talk about some other things that you've been involved with. What does crazy and sexy mean in the kitchen?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I wrote this with Chris Carr. Chris Carr, it's her brand on Crazy Sexy Diet. And she, you know, she started this many years ago, and I've been friends with her for a number of years through a mutual friend and kind of circle. And so we decided to write a book together, which is great. She chose, uh, chose me to be the chef of her program, and we put together some of our all-time favorite recipes, everywhere from, you know, real basic recipes to a little bit more complex, ranging from, you know, very, you know, the raw foods, you know, very simple raw salads and dishes to a little bit more of the comforter, heavier gourmet dishes. So, you know, whether you're a novice or a beginner or a chef in the kitchen, I think anybody can get a little bit of inspiration from the book. So we started working on it last year, and it just materialized very quickly. And we've just gotten wonderful response. So it's a great balance of, like I said, of a number of raw dishes, and all of them, you had mentioned oil in the beginning of the program, all of them can be completely, you know, kind of altered to your personal diet, whether you want to minimize salt or oil in the recipes. And yeah, we just tried to create a recipe book that was very simple and approachable and reached a larger audience. And I think we did that with this book. So
now, the first time I discovered you as a chef was during my raw food phase. I was all raw for about 2 years, and I'm now just a regular old vegan. And but what do you tend to eat? And what got you into the raw scene, actually?
Well, I just love clean food. And, you know, I stick to plant-based personally. And, you know, whether it's raw or cooked. And, you know, depending on the day, depending on the weather. And it'll depend on really what I have to eat. And, you know, and seasonality and all that. And, you know, my whole thing was when I was into raw foods, I was in the raw foods for, you know, a number of years and opening restaurants around the scene for a while, and I just you know, I joined Whole Foods Market in 2009, head up the healthy eating education program, and one thing that, you know, that I didn't get an opportunity to do over the years was work with a number of great doctors, and I started working with a number of them, being here at Whole Foods as our medical board of advisors. And, you know, I got my blood red, you know, part of one of our programs is offering team members some health and wellness education, as you have the opportunity to look at your biometrics and you know, further your discount, further your education and all that. So I got my blood red for the first time, my basic biometrics, the cholesterol and all that. And I had been eating a plant-based diet for, you know, 12 years at that time. And, my cholesterol was high. Mm-hmm. It really blew me away. And my cholesterol was high, my blood pressure was high, and I'm sure that a lot of that contributed from stress in terms of blood pressure, being over in Europe and you know, opening restaurants and running like that. But it kind of opened my eyes up a little bit. And, you know, I was talking to Dr. Esselstein, Dr. Furman, Dr. McDougall, all the, you know, a number of doctors on our board. And, you know, they just said, you know, limit the sugars and cut back on the oils and sodium. And I did that, and within 4 months, my cholesterol plummeted and started eating more cooked food, beans and greens and grains, and you know, going a little bit more macro with my diet, macrobiotic, and just, you know, cleaner, wholer foods. And my cholesterol plummeted, my blood pressure plummeted, and I just witnessed firsthand that I was just eating so many fats, so many sugars following a 100% raw diet. And, you know, going, you know, and a lot of that, I think, was based on the cuisine that I was showcasing in the restaurants. It was a little bit more gourmet, a little bit more, you know, comforting and concentrated and stuff like that. So it's, you know, at the end of the day, my diet is greens, beans, and grains, you know, really sums it up. And, you know, the occasional, you know, vegan comfort food I love as well. So, but the basis of my diet focus on those three categories now, so.
There's so many things I want to talk about, picking out little things that you just mentioned. But let's talk about health first. And it's a funny thing. Many of us think that we get this free pass when we go vegan, that all of a sudden we're going to be invulnerable to everything. And it's not true. There are healthy diets that are vegan, and there are unhealthy diets, and there are some that are in the middle of the road. You could be eating raw, vegetarian, or even eating some animal products, and it can be healthy or not healthy.
Yep.
And so we're all learning that. That cholesterol thing is a mystery, because I'm somebody that does have higher than desired cholesterol, and some of the vegan doctors have, you know, kind of just shrugged and said, don't worry about it. There's a lot of different things that are connected to it, but I'm definitely somebody who limits oil and sugar and salt and eats tons of greens and minimally processed whole foods. Okay, let's get back to the book. I was at the Whole Foods book signing at Tribeca a few weeks ago when you and Chris Carr were there, and we got to sample a few of the items in the book, and they were all fabulous. And I just wanted to bring up my favorite, which is the kale salad. I always like to say there is nothing that kale can't do.
That's one of my all-time favorite recipes, and it's been a favorite in that book. And you know, we all have those recipes that kind of follow you around over the years that just kind of are timeless and stick with you and tend to be your staples in the kitchen. That recipe, hands down, I eat at least once a week, and I have for many, many years, and it's my all-time favorite. You know, because a lot of people think that you can only cook it. You know, throw it in soups and stews and are a little bit afraid of raw kale being a little bitter and astringent and all that. So it's nice to showcase a simple salad as such with just four or five ingredients that can taste as delicious and nourishing for your body as that. So.
Well, it was funny because after that event and having, I think I grabbed maybe two or three sample cups of the kale salad. It wasn't enough for me, and I went right home and made my own giant bowl of kale salad with avocado. I threw in a little onion, and I was very happy.
That's great. So simple, so delicious, right? We have the nice thing about the book, you know, coming right around the holidays, is we have just a ton of holiday recipes. We have some great holiday menus in the back, and don't get me wrong. I mean, our book does have oil and salt and some fruit
that's
sugars.
Okay.
And stuff
no, that's
there,
okay. That's okay.
It's a nice variation to really focus on, you know, plants being the center of the plate. And we have some comforting dishes, some simple light dishes, and some great sample menus in the back. And right around the holidays, we have at least a dozen good holiday sides, and there can be really translated to any table at home. So I think a lot of people will find what they're looking for.
It's funny, in this food scene where we're promoting plant foods, I find more and more we're also careful because people are saying, oh, you can't have salt, you can't have sugar, you can't have oil. And I don't use oil often, but it's not that I don't ever have it. And I believe for treats and special occasions and when you want to make it a little more elegant, it's perfectly fine. It's just being aware of what we're using in our food. People very often are not. And as I mentioned, the potato pancake recipe that I'm so excited about at the beginning of the program, that is typically fried in tons of oil. And I really want to get away from that. I don't enjoy eating them, and it doesn't feel good afterwards. So I was really glad when I came up with this recipe, which I actually put in a couple of tablespoons of olive oil. Yeah. It's not without oil. But it's just something to pay attention to. You know, we've read all this press about the Mediterranean diet and about how olive oil is so healthy, and people really the wrong information from that. That doesn't mean we can drown ourselves in oil.
Exactly. Propaganda at its finest. I mean, you look at 95% of the Mediterranean diet is based on whole foods, you know, whole fruits, vegetables, grains, all that, and that little teeny percentage is olive oil and red wine. And what do we run with in terms of the marketing is olive oil and red wine are good for you, you know. They don't look at the whole foods that makes up the diet, you know. So, you know, I think I'm very aligned with that, and I really do think that it's all about just bringing awareness to the food scene and to everyone, I think, of just like, you know, choosing what you eat carefully and eating real food, you know, avoiding box food and eating as clean as possible and as many plants being, you know, the focus of your dish, you know, no matter what diet that you follow. I mean, plants should be superior in everybody's diet. So
I'm sorry, you gave us another sample at the Whole Foods event that was made with artichokes that was really amazing. And I love the flavor that artichokes have, and there's nothing bad in an artichoke.
Yeah, and what I think that one was, that was one of my favorite crostinis we have. It was just toasted bread, some crostini with some artichoke pesto and some garlicky mushrooms. And I put lots of fresh horseradish on that. That was absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
That's one of my holiday favorite appetizers. So.
That was really good. The microplanes horseradish. Yep, it was good. Yeah.
And one thing that I wanted to also mention, Karen, is, you know, I mean, I started this community with my brother called Wicked Healthy, and it's just it's on Facebook, and it's just really bringing awareness to folks about how simple eating healthy is. And you know, a lot of people are so intimidated by, as soon as you start, you know, talking about, you know, eating healthy, people immediately think what they can't have. They don't think of the simplicity and the abundance that they can have out there. You know, I mean, look at, you know, avocados, there's 40 varieties, durian, there's 20 varieties, you know, and the list just, you know, 800 beans out there. And it's just, it's so abundant and so simple. And it's just taking out the mystery of healthy eating, I think, is the main focus of all of us, and just showing people how simple and delicious it can actually be, you know.
We just need better marketing representation, because the food is fabulous. Everybody who's on this diet loves it. I love my food, and I love it when it's simple and clean, and I like when I give myself a treat from time to time, but I love all of it, and I never feel guilty about what I'm eating. And we just need some better press, and we're getting some. And so a book like yours, This Crazy Sexy Kitchen, and what was it, Wicked Healthy?
Wicked Healthy, yeah.
Yeah, we need to be marketing like this and giving some really hip images to the diet, because, hello, it is hip. We look good, we feel good, and as we get older, our performance in many arenas, you know, dare I say sex again when we're talking about Crazy Sexy Kitchen, but, you know, many men, we hear these advertisements all the time for Viagra and Cialis, because men can't perform. All they need to do is eat plants.
Yep.
And things will be back up to normal.
You're funny, Karen.
But, you know, we have to talk about these things and make it crazy, make it sexy, make it wicked, but it's all good.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And it's just making it approachable and making it easy, showing people how absolutely simple it is to highlight veggies in a meal, and highlight plants is the focus of your meal. So we try and do that with all my work that I'm doing across the board, with Wicked Healthy, with the book, with my website, with the all the culinary classes and education that we teach, and I think we're all doing amazing work, and there's so many pioneers out there, and there's so many amazing chefs.
What's going on with you and Whole Foods? What have you been doing for them?
Well, I've been working with Whole Foods Market for about a little over 3 years, almost 4 years now, and I've you know, my role has evolved a lot over the years, and I've fit really well into my role of culinary education. So I'm developing a lot of the culinary education, the plant-based culinary education around our healthy eating program, whether they're educational tools for in stores for healthy eating specialists and demo specialists, or whether they're recipes being developed for prepared foods and perishables, or our website or what. And it's just getting out there and just helping educate, you know, and making it so simple and showing people really the versatility of what plants is all about. You know, I mean, we have such an amazing, robust program here at Whole Foods Market called Health Starts Here, and people can follow our Facebook site and look at Health Starts Here under the Whole Foods Market website as well. And there's just immense amount of information up there, and it's our whole goal as well is just the same thing as we've been talking about all along here, is making it simple, approachable, and delicious. You know, and if it's affordable, if it's simple, and if it's delicious, what else do you need? I mean, those are the three hang-ups and excuses that you hear from people all the time. Oh, it doesn't taste good. It's too expensive. And oh, it doesn't, it's too difficult. All three of those are the biggest hang-ups that you hear and excuses that people give of why they can't eat a plant-based diet. And we're trying to, you know, demystify that and just, take the mystery out of it and you know, just make it, you know, simple so everybody can embrace it, you know.
Yeah.
And even if it's small little techniques of I have all these technique videos up on the website on WholeFoodsMarket.com of just, you know, how to simple no oil saute, or how do you braise, or how do you grill, or how do you marinate, and what's the basis of making a smoothie or a veggie burger, and just the simple techniques that I think are long lasting, and that's what's going to help people sustain a healthier diet.
And it's
healthier lifestyle.
And it's all free.
Yeah, exactly.
Those videos that you can watch, and you can learn everything you need to know. Now that is really awesome.
Yeah, I have a huge video section on my website that I've been adding to. I just launched that as well on chadsarna.com, and it's all my videos up there over the years, and you know, just whether they're recipes or events or anything like that, so folks can check those out. And there's some great resources out there. I think you know, I mean, the community is growing more and more over the years, and you know, there are some stellar chefs out there and amazing advocates and experts in this field that, you know, there's no excuse anymore. I mean, there's so much free information out there for people to grasp onto and you know, and make it accessible and fit within their lifestyle. So,
you know, the nice thing or the thing that I notice is the chefs that are making all of this wonderful vegan food, look at them. They're slim. They look good. You are an excellent, stunning example. But when we look at most of the chefs today on the Food Network and chefs all around, they don't look healthy, and they're on the plus side. And I think that's important. I really would like to see one of the important factors of delicious food being that it's good for you, because you can make delicious food and not have to pay the price for it.
I completely agree with that, and it's, you know, just investing that little bit of time, and it's even cheaper than eating a processed food diet. A lot of people think, oh, eating healthy is so expensive. Well, if you're shopping and you're eating all processed, if you're converting, if you look at the standard American diet, Karen, I mean, it's over 70% processed food, okay? Mm-hmm. So if somebody's converting and thinking that if they just eat organic, they're eating healthy, and if you're buying just organic 70% processed foods of your diet, it's going to be more expensive. But if you shift that 70% to fresh, whole food, you know, shopping the perimeter of the store, whether it's in the produce or the bulk department, I mean, you're paying pennies every meal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's remarkable how cheap beans and grains and greens are, you know? And if that's a staple of your diet, with the occasional treat or what, it's, I mean, the affordability of it is amazing.
It's true. That's, you know, Whole Foods gets a bad rap from time to time. People joke and call it whole paycheck. But if you go to Whole Foods and you're buying those simple whole foods, you can really do very well. There are some of those foods that are priced very, very reasonably.
Yeah, I mean, and the company is really focused on value with the 365 brand. So whether it's canned beans or any kind of canned product or packaged product or frozen product. I mean, it's frozen greens and whole grains, and I mean, all of that. I mean, it's just learning how to shop, and I think that's a big challenge for most people is really just taking the steps to educate themselves. To the first step is learning how to shop. You know, how to fill your basket. How do you stretch meals? How do you, you know, make something at the beginning of the week that you can utilize in three or four different applications during your busy work week and meals? And it's just thinking ahead. It's a little bit more planning. It's some self-motivation of going out there and learning the basics of how to shop and what to buy and the basics of cooking, you know, from grains and beans. And, you know, it would blow you away of how many people out there really don't know how to cook whole grains or just beans, you know, just dry beans. And we're seeing this in a lot of classes, and also with the viewing of the videos online. One of the most watched videos on the website is how to steam, which is amazing. That just shows you.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us may be on the coast and a little bit more progressive cities and all that, and that's kind of shocking. But when you start doing some education and teaching in some of the, you know, inner America and all that, I mean, the diet is very different, you know, and the resources aren't out there as much as they are in more of the progressive cities. So.
Yeah, you know, we joke from time to time about how people don't know how to boil water, but that is steaming, and that's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the most painful video I have ever made in my life, was how to steam. So anyways, those are up on the site.
Well,
yeah, it's just really exciting things happening in the plant-based world. And again, tons of pioneers, and just hats off to all the pioneers out there and the experts and people pushing their business and just following their heart and knowing they're doing the right thing. And,
I think people are just afraid sometimes to get back into the kitchen. They're so distanced from it you know, if you just thought about how to do things from a just a logical point of view, you could figure most things out. But I think there's this distanced fear that maybe we've even been marketed and manipulated to feel so that we go out and buy things from fast food restaurants, and who knows how subliminal it's been. I don't know.
But, well, I mean, you think about how, you know, I think what people fear the most is herb and spice combining and the basics of basic cooking methods and how to cook grains and beans and just simple items like that. But on my website also, I have, if people sign up for a newsletter, they get an extensive herb and spice combining chart, kind of quick glance guide. And it kind of shows people, you know, everything in each column blends flavor-wise together. And it's just simple tools like that, simple little quick glance charts. And there's so many resources out there that are available at our fingertips. And
One of the first things that I learned from you was making cheese with probiotics.
Mm-hmm. And I have we have a couple of those in the book.
Yeah.
They're not using probiotics in the book, but you obviously can if you're going to culture. And there's some great raw cheese companies out there, like Dr. Cow is one of them out of Brooklyn. And, you know, there's some great examples out there. But we have some that are a little bit quicker of adding acid. It doesn't taste exactly how it would if you're going to culture it, because
mm-hmm.
That tends to intimidate some people with culturing.
Yeah.
But it's they do the trick, you know, and, you know, utilizing cashews and almonds and, you know, some of those concentrated fats to make the base of your cheese they're great little alternatives. So,
well, I really think this is the beginning of something that we're going to see really bloom, because people love cheese. And
yeah, there's a very close friend of mine is I won't reveal it now because it's not full public.
Ooh.
But there's a cheese that's going to be coming out on the market that is going to be, it's a game changer. And
yeah.
It's not the blended cashew itself. It's going to be, it's basically the milk, high fat milk, which is nut based, and cultures and enzymes and cultured and pressed and aged, and it's exactly the same process as cheese making.
Right, why not?
And it's going to be hitting the shelves in the next few months, and
Ooh.
It'll definitely be a game changer. So it's very exciting what's in the works.
Right. People won't be able to say, but I need to have my cheese. They can give up dairy and they'll have it all. Very exciting. Just one more question. You have a daughter. How old is she?
I have a daughter. She's 7, Amaya Joy, a little joy in my life. She's 7 years old, and she resides with me here in Austin, Texas. And
what does she like to eat?
She loves her green smoothies. I am so grateful that she loves her green smoothies. I mean, she loves her starches, and
mm-hmm.
I make her all, you know, the mac and cheese I made her the other night, vegan mac and cheese, and things like that, of course, she loves. But one good thing is she absolutely loves her green smoothies, and she asks for them, like, over the years, I've been doing green smoothie demos at all her little schools that she's been going to her classes. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. And you know, I think it's really important for folks that have kids is get them involved, you know, get them in the kitchen, let them pick veggies out of a garden or pick veggies out of the farmer's market, what look beautiful, and, you know, get them involved in the kitchen. And it just makes it so simple and so much easier to have them try and to experience, you know, more plant-based foods if their hands are in there and they're choosing themselves. So
I just wanted to wrap up and get back to Crazy Sexy Kitchen. I know that in addition to all of your recipes, there were a number of guest chefs in the book, and I have here in the studio with me for the next part of the show, Chef Fran Costigan, and she's in that book too.
She is, and Fran and I go way back. She is an absolute powerhouse pastry chef. And,
hi, Chad.
You know, hi, Fran.
Hi, Chad. It's so
hi,
nice
honey.
To see you.
Look at you. Look at you. I'm singing your praises, and you're right there. I was trying to be So awesome. Good to be on here with you, Fran. And yeah, she's one of the chefs in the book, and we just have an amazing lineup. And it's just always a pleasure to work with Fran on any project. So,
Chad, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. All the best with Crazy Sexy Kitchen and all of your wonderful products. And thanks for doing what you're doing for all of us.
Thank you so much, Karen, for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, happy holidays.
Okay, you too.
Okay. That was Chad Sarno, and you can go to his website, chadsarno.com, for all of those wonderful videos he was talking about and a whole lot more. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Chef Fran Costigan to talk about irresistible chocolate vegan desserts. We'll be right back. everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and we're back. It's the 11th of December, 2012, and this is It's All About Food. Now, you know me. I talk about food all the time, and I like to say that eating a healthy diet is really important, and really keeping an eye on the oil, salt, sugar, all of that stuff. But that doesn't mean that from time to time we can't have a treat. And a treat is something that we don't have all the time. That's what makes it a treat. Hello. And I know the standard American diet today, people are treating every hour. And I think it might even be a little boring when you're getting all that gooey, sweet, whatever you want every moment of the day. Just my opinion. But there are moments when treats are wonderful and deserved, and we should have them made from wonderful quality ingredients that are gentle on the planet and cruelty-free. And there's one person who does this best, and we're going to be talking to her right now. She's a native New Yorker. Fran Costigan is the queen of vegan dessert. She's an internationally recognized culinary instructor, author, consultant, recipe developer, and the pioneering vegan pastry chef who marries healthy eating with sumptuous tastes. The Fran factor is her unique ability to transform traditional desserts into modern, healthful, and luscious vegan desserts that satisfy vegans and omnivores alike. In Fran's recipes, nothing is missing except the dairy, eggs, white sugar, and excess fat. She is the authority on all things related to vegan baking and desserts, a graduate of the New York Restaurant School, the Natural Gourmet Institute, and Nick Malgorie's Professional Pastry Intensive. Today, Fran teaches her unique courses at the Institute of Culinary Education, the Natural Gourmet Institute, including her always sold-out Vegan Baking Boot Camp Intensive, and at other venues throughout the U.S. and Canada. Fran's second cookbook, More Great Good Dairy-Free Desserts Naturally, is designed as a complete course in vegan baking. And she just finished working on her second cookbook. Oh, her third cookbook, I'm sorry. Irresistible Chocolate Vegan Desserts for Everyone, Unapologetically Delicious, Decadent, Dark, Organic, and Fair. And that will be coming out next year. We're going to be talking about that and a lot more. Welcome to It's All About Food, my wonderful friend, Fran.
Thank you.
You know, it's really nice to have a friend like you because you're always bringing chocolates wherever you are.
This is true. Thank you for that lovely welcome, Karen. And I really enjoyed your interview with Chad, a dear friend. And
one crazy sexy chef.
He is fat. He is a good-looking man and a great chef and a wonderful teacher. A wonderful teacher.
Mm-hmm. I want to go watch his video on how to steam vegetables.
How to steam. You know, because I teach so much, for such a long time, I've met so many people that I have still trained myself to have a beginner's mind. There really are people who, whether it's the terminology, steaming, or really are nervous about the idea of going into the kitchen and making their own food, boiling water or steam, you know, steaming seems like a gourmet term. I suggest to people that they might have made themselves a cup of tea sometime and that would have involved boiling water. But it's all, we just need to show each other.
I'm just thinking right now, probably a lot of people don't know how to boil water because they have automatic coffee makers.
Oh, right.
And they just fill it up and press a button.
That's right. Yuck.
Yeah.
Right. Or those in Europe, and I see a lot of it here, too, where people plug those pots in to make the boiling water.
Right.
But stoves work.
Yeah.
or people who boil water in a microwave oven.
Yeah.
You know, I'm...
Anyway,
the fact is, everything that you know...
Keep
it simple. And do what works, what feels comfortable to you. Once you start making a little bit of food for yourself, it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been working day and night, really. I've had a pretty unbalanced life, and I believe in balance, in the last week because I was finishing up the manuscript for the new chocolate vegan book, and I'm very excited about it. So I'm in New York City. I can pick up the phone and I can get a green juice delivered and I can get, you know, a bean salad or whatever. And I was doing that for a while. I did that for 2 days and then something just didn't feel okay. Even though the restaurants I chose were all right, I wasn't making the food. My energy wasn't in the food. And I kind of went, duh.
Yeah. Well, even if you're not making the food, there's an opportunity for there to be a lot of oil or salt.
Yeah. And exactly.
There are some wonderful restaurants in this city, but still, they're trying to maximize their profit, and you don't know all the ingredients that are going into what they're making.
It's true. So I didn't like the way I felt, and I just thought, this is so simple. I keep a pretty well-stocked pantry. And even when it's not, one of the best things about following a whole foods plant-based diet is you can always eat. So I had, you know, this best, I call them, people look at the salads that I eat. They go, is that for you? I say, yes. Greens and whatever I had, I ate down the fridge. Greens, avocado, cucumbers, celery.
You're making me hungry.
It was a really delicious salad. And I felt better. It's a little way of taking control. Like, I didn't need oil. I'm not an oil shunner because I use oil in my desserts. But I don't use it where I don't need it. You know, the avocado took care of the fat that I was craving.
That's my favorite fat.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. And that the kale salad, I did that too. It was really good. And it gives me an opportunity to get up from the computer and go and massage my kale a little bit. So it's just wonderful. But that said, I have been tasting a lot of chocolate for the last year. But this book is going to be quite unique. There hasn't been to date a chocolate book. Chocolate is pretty universally loved for people who exclude from their diets milk, dairy of all kinds, eggs, and refined white sugar. And those are products that I do not use. I also do not use any what I call marginal or fake foods. Now, I am not making people who use products that I choose not to use wrong. I want to make that really clear. There's room for everyone, but I have not needed to, and I don't want to, so I don't use palm oil. I'm not talking about chocolate chips. There are some chocolate chips in the chocolate chip cookie, but I'm talking about high percentage chocolates. And I learned so much, you know, throughout the research for this book was so interesting.
Did you start with history of chocolate?
The book is designed so that the first chapter is pretty information dense. You can go to it if you wish. Not everybody, or you can just go to a recipe in a chapter that you might be interested in. There are there's a truffle chapter, chocolate truffles, cakes, showstoppers, which are multi-part but doable in stages, ice creams, puddings, cooked, raw, gluten-free, and confections as well. Did I say cookies and bars?
No,
cookies and bars. But what I did was I have a big information about the ingredients. People say, "Oh, you're vegan. Do you? You're doing a chocolate book. That's great. What do you use for chocolate?"
People don't understand.
They
equate milk and butter with chocolate.
Right.
They're even confused when they see cocoa butter as an ingredient.
Well, thank you for saying this. So yeah, I decided to do a really complete glossary. And then at the front of each chapter, because there are different types of desserts and within the types, there are subtypes. I write the way I think. So I will go to a section, a chapter, usually in the front or the back of the book that has explanations. But I want to know about what do I need to know to bake a good cake at the cake chapter, for example. So I did a complete section on chocolate, and I really had to rethink the way I was labeling chocolate. I'm thinking high percentage. Now, what that means is the today practically at Duane Reade's, you know, at any major drugstore chain, you see 70% on the bar or 80% in big print.
Yeah.
What that means is that's the percentage of chocolate solids, which is the cocoa mass, the unsweetened chocolate, the chocolate liqueur, which is not alcohol, and chocolate butter, which is not dairy. It's the fat.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's, I'm not very good at math, but if it's a 70% bar, it's 70% chocolate and about 30% sugar. So the higher the percentage, the lower the sugar. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting more chocolate. More chocolate. However, the percentage is not a guarantee of quality because you need to do a little homework. You need to taste a few bars. It all starts with the beans. How are they selected? How are they fermented? How are they handled? Roasted or not? And then, if it's made well, also with the artisanal small batch chocolate makers now, how they prepare this chocolate bean to bar is proprietary information. So you can, and then you throw in on, add on top of that, we have personal tastes. Our palates are different.
Mm-hmm.
So one bar that 170% might taste creamier to me and sweeter, whereas you might take a bite and say, oh, this is really dark. This is really bitter. So it turns out that what I was calling until now bittersweet or semi-sweet chocolate is a misnomer.
Oh.
They are dark chocolates with different percentages. Actually, according to the FDA, now I'm doing this from memory.
Okay, let's get the FDA in here.
Only to be called bittersweet, a chocolate, the percentage of chocolate need only be 35%.
Whoa, that's nothing.
Clearly, the difference between a bar that is made with, if it's just labeled bittersweet, but made with 35% is going to taste really different from one that's made with 85%.
I think it's going to taste sweet.
It's going to taste sweet to me. Yeah, so there you go. So the percentages are a guide. I like the idea of using high percentage chocolate for a number of reasons. There's less sugar. There's more chocolate. I like using less sugar with the idea that these are desserts. And going back to what you said about treats, if you eat these desserts that I make all throughout the day, I don't see that they're treats anymore. So whereas I start many of my classes or conversations with, there is no holy grail of sweetener, and these are treats made to be enjoyed once in a while, but when you enjoy them, make it good.
Make it really
good. Make it really good.
I think a lot of people have a palate that doesn't know how to taste many flavors, and they've grown accustomed to accepting low quality that has sugar and artificial flavors and a lot of fat, and they don't even know what good is.
Yeah, but you can retrain really easily.
Mm-hmm.
Once, I mean, I know that eating my version of a clean diet, my whole foods plant-based diet, because as we know, you and I have discussed this as friends in conversation many times, vegan does not equal healthy. You can be a candy bar vegan. I eat seasonal foods that are whole, organic. You know, I have green every day, many times a day, and grains and beans and
but when that, it's party time,
when it's
you
party
bring
time,
a chocolate cake.
I'm happy to have my chocolate, but I want it to be delicious. And so, having grown up on those, I don't know, foil kissy things, those waxy things, the high percentage chocolates, and I'm talking about the ones that are high quality, they're a phenomenon because you're tasting chocolate, you need less, really, because there is more chocolate inherently when in something that's 70% or 85%. And I know because I have met so many people in this line of dessert work that I am doing, to my surprise and delight, and the delight of my friends, I must say, that they say, wow, you know, I could really eat a small, I can have a smaller piece and feel satisfied. Mm-hmm. I can have a truffle that isn't the size of a golf ball or a baseball and feel satisfied. But you need to use quality, good stuff. Also, you know, when you take the excess fat out, and there is excess sugar and excess fat in commercial food just because it's cheaper and our palates, the general public's palates might be worse used to that. You taste the chocolate. The chocolate isn't masked. This, I know, mm-hmm. because I have really, really, I have
now,
experienced it.
Now, some people like chocolate, just plain chocolate. I like when chocolate's married with something else, either chocolate with some nut or chocolate mm-hmm. with some sort of bread cake, cookie, something or other. I feel like I taste the chocolate better when it comes with something.
You might. You might.
That's just me.
You might. Well, chocolate and nuts are really a historic pairing. They, you know, the nuts, there's this symbiotic thing that goes on that's remarkable. I have a recipe. You know, there are recipes in this book for every level of expertise or how much time you have in a particular day or whatever. And again, many of the component recipes, the components can be done in advance. So you learn mm-hmm. to make a ganache, which is typically an emulsion of heavy cream and chocolate. Okay. And then sometimes butter is added. And then sometimes corn syrup is added. This is getting kind of ooky mm-hmm. to me. Mine are non-dairy milks, creams. I've even got one with orange juice. So you'll be able to tailor what works for you in this. But let's say you've done this ganache, which is not very difficult to do. You need to follow my rule books. I have Fran's rule book for making perfect truffles or perfect ice cream or whatever at the front of each chapter. Then you've got this in your refrigerator. And let's say I said, you told me you were coming into the city with Gary. Karen, come on over. I want to serve you a little something. It's holiday time. And I make you a little chocolate crostini. I toast some wonderful sourdough or sprouted wheat bread until it's crunchy. Spread it while it's warm with some of this melty ganache. Mm-hmm. For you, mm-hmm. you like nuts, maybe there'll be some chopped hazelnuts on the top. And a teeny crush of a finishing salt, maybe, maybe not. A little drizzle of olive oil, maybe, maybe not. Mm. But you can see the possibilities.
Right.
They're endless. They are wonderful. I've also got a vegan Notella, if you know what I mean, in the book. It's really good.
I was talking about Nutella recently because they've been in the news.
Yeah.
In France, they are talking about levying a tax on foods with palm oil. Something like a 30% tax, but I'm not exactly sure how it works out. And so the Nutella company is up in arms because there's a lot of palm oil in their hazelnut spread.
And milk powder.
And milk powder. Those are the two top ingredients,
yes,
actually.
There's
milk
very
and palm
little
oil,
chocolate
not...
and there's very little yeah. hazelnut.
Anyway.
That's really interesting. Well, Karen, let me say that there is not one recipe with palm oil in my book. I don't use it. It's just something I do not use.
That's
I haven't
fine.
Needed to.
I have. I'm on the fence about palm oil, and I know a lot of people are really quite adamantly against it. I think there's a lot to it, and people are concerned about palm oil because there's a lot of monocropping of palm oil in many third world countries, devastating the rainforest, and it's not good for the environment. And I acknowledge that, but I also acknowledge there are bigger issues to the rainforest. And sometimes I think is the whole palm oil story a distraction to the bigger issue, which is cattle ranching and soy production to feed cows, which is a bigger piece of the rainforest destruction puzzle, unfortunately. It's all important.
It's all important. It's all really important. What it comes down to. So as long as I've been able to, I'm keeping it a little bit more local. I have found that using olive oil from California, California Olive Ranch, to make desserts that require fat is just wonderful. When you switch from a solid shortening, so we would say butter here, to a liquid is all fat, you need less. You need 25% less. So I use just enough to make the dessert taste good. The fat-free desserts, cakes, I'm talking about a truffle, it's not a fat-free dessert, but it is certainly a no-fat-added dessert. I've got my truffle recipe going into Rip Esselstyn's upcoming book, and you know that
no fat is
allowed there. But, you know, that also, you go around full circle there to the idea that there are times that people who eat plant-based diets need a good treat. I did Rip and Jill's wedding cakes. They did have cakes at their wedding.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and he wanted a chocolate cake, and so that's what they had. But you and I talk often. I heard you talking about it with Chad. About, you know, people say to me, "You're a dessert chef, right?" And I go, "Yeah, I make desserts." Well, you're not fat. You're kind of slender.
Super slender.
Yeah. Well, I just finished writing an all chocolate book with 100, 110, 115 recipes, I think, and certainly had to do tasting all along the way. I happened to taste little bitty. I taste on my grandchildren's tasting spoons. But the fact is that I don't live on these desserts. I know what I'm tasting for flavor, I'm tasting for consistency, I'm tasting for texture, and then I've had enough because they're really good. They're really good.
Was there something you learned about chocolate that you didn't know before?
There was a lot I learned about chocolate that I didn't know before, and I've been using chocolate because my classes are popular, but it's the chocolate classes that are really popular, or in a class that isn't a chocolate class, invariably someone will say, well, what if we put a little chocolate in this? You know, it just is this universal thing. One of the main things I touched on before was the percentage, you know, the idea that bittersweet doesn't necessarily, it's just a marketing label, almost like natural. That was very interesting to me. Also the idea of, well, what makes chocolate vegan? I was stunned to learn that in this country, anyway, up to 12% milk solids in some form is allowed to be contained in a dark chocolate. So you had best read your labels.
Print.
It's disclosed, but it wouldn't occur to me until I learned this. This is law. If I saw a bar of dark chocolate, I would assume that it is only chocolate and milk.
Many people have made that mistake.
And it's because organic has become a very popular marketing tool. So the chocolate makers that I trusted or liked, for example, have been bought up by the bigger guys and then the biggest guys. And we're talking about a different, I'm not talking about shared lines here. I'm talking about seeing milk powder. Green and black will list organic milk powder.
But I used to love them a long time ago, and I don't anymore.
Yeah, well, they were bought by Cadbury
and then by Kraft.
But the fact is, they're still talking about shared equipment. By law, you can have up to 12% milk in some form.
Chocolate.
So I suggest that you really look at your label, because at least it's annoying, and at worst, it's quite deadly. That was a really big one for me. So when people say, well, what makes chocolate vegan? It's a bit tricky. The sugar needs to be vegan. What makes sugar vegan? If your sugar is organic, it's vegan. It's vegan. It hasn't been processed through bone char. So you want to look for organic sugar. And even, you know, that's become a whole...
Oh, my God. It's
confusing thing.
We can't talk about chocolate anymore.
But we can talk about chocolate. Because, and I want to use a chocolate that is a compassionate chocolate, not
right.
a...
No slavery.
There's a lot of slavery. So I talk about that in the book as well. But mostly, I just want you to like it.
Okay. Mm. Well, Fran, thank you for joining me. And it's all about food. And we really are looking forward to when this book is in print, which will be sometime in 2013.
In the fall.
Great. Well, thank you for joining me. And it's all about food. Please visit ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. That's where I live. Send me an email at info@realmeals.org. And we'll be back next week. Have a delicious one. Bye.